But I want us to consider this gift of love. The world talks about love in a lot of ways, and rarely does it get it right. But God talks about love in a way that's a gift for all of His people, for all of the world. In fact, Paul writes to the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church was struggling with how to use the gifts that God had given in a way that was beneficial for all people. They had kind of become, well, a little bit like we tend to become. We take the gift God has given us and we think that's the best gift because we have it. And everybody else ought to kind of honor and revere our gift because it's more important. And in the Corinthian church, one of those gifts, and we'll talk about this in a couple weeks, was the gift of languages or the gift of tongues. And those that were given that to a greater extent than others thought that they were something special. And Paul began to address how to use that. But at the end of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, after discussing the misuse of gifts and the better way to use them, he says, 1 Corinthians 12, the last part of verse 31, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Which leads into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which you probably would recognize, especially if you open it up and begin reading, this is known as the love chapter. A very common chapter, a section of Scripture to be read and to use at weddings. It describes love in a way that's similar yet different from the way the world lives love. And Paul describes it as the most excellent way. And so I believe that we would do well if we desire, that's the first part of chapter 12, verse 31. He says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. He says, you're arguing about all of this stuff that's from God and it's good, but there's a greater gift. And you're kind of ignoring it. You're kind of not growing in it like you ought to be growing. And then he launches into 1 Corinthians 13. And so today we're going to unwrap this gift of love. Look at it from God's perspective. Look at it from how we live it today. And look at it from how it's meant to benefit the church, to benefit the body of Christ, to benefit our community, to benefit our state and our nation and our world. It's important that we recognize any of the gifts of God, including the gift of love, was not meant to be given and received in a vacuum. They weren't meant to be secret. They were meant to be unwrapped. Typically what we do if somebody gives us a gift that's wrapped, we unwrap it, we look at it, and we determine sometimes almost immediately, it's like, what in the world am I going to do with this? Or, wow, I've always wanted this. And when we unwrap the gifts that God gives to us, our reaction ought to lean more towards the, wow, I've always wanted this. But sometimes it's, what am I supposed to do with this? And I think because the world messes up for us the definition and the description of what love looks like, sometimes we receive that gift of love from God and we say, what am I supposed to do with this? The expressions of love that the world teaches aren't appropriate. So how do I use this? So we're going to look at four things that I think help us to unwrap this gift of love. And the first part of this gift of love is a gift of learning. It's learning what love really is. That's the first part of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, pay attention. Learn what it is. Learn what it isn't. Learn how it benefits all other gifts. Learn how valuable it is, regardless of how else God has gifted you. And so he says in these first three verses, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, wow, that's powerful. But have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I don't know if you noticed that within that, but we've talked about those gifts. We've unwrapped the gift of giving. We've unwrapped the gift of insight and the prophecy that comes from that. We've unwrapped the faith that that gift ought to be used in. And God says all of these gifts that we've talked about, if they're not grounded in love, they're not all that useful. That they don't measure up. And so the gift of love requires us to learn how it applies to everything. And sometimes we get in our mind, because the world teaches us love in a certain way, that love kind of works in this lane. And these are the people that I ought to love. And this is the way I ought to love these people. But over here, this is a whole different lane, and love doesn't drive down this road. This is a road of justice. This is a road of consequences. This is a road that requires something different. And God says, no. When we unwrap love, we discover that it's woven throughout everything that we do, because God is love. And if we leave love out of any aspect of how we live, we are leaving God out of that aspect. And so we begin to learn, how does my driving look differently if I have this gift of love? Yeah. We probably wouldn't need this police officer that sits down at the end of the driveway on a very consistent basis monitoring traffic that goes by. But we need him there because we're not always implementing this gift of love in our driving. We're not implementing it in our homes. We're not implementing it in our schools. We're not implementing it in our neighborhoods. We try to implement it when we come together and worship God. You know, this is a great place to practice and to live out this gift of love and to learn what it's about, but we've got to learn to take it with us. You know, sometimes some of these Christian characteristics that we live with, they're kind of like our name tags. We walk in the door, we fill it out, we put it on our shirt, and we make sure we peel it off and throw it away before we leave, because we don't want to be embarrassed when we go to the restaurant after church and somebody says, hey, how are you, Tom? I say, how do you know me? Well, your name tag's sitting there. Oh, sorry, I forgot to take that off. Well, we do that sometimes with the love that we ought to be expressing. So this gift of love requires that we learn how valuable it is to everything that we do. When we go to work, when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the places of recreation and things that we enjoy doing, how does love, the greater gift in those aspects? You see, this gift of love requires that we learn, but it also requires that we unwrap an observation, that we pay attention, that we look. He goes on in verse 4 through 7 and talks about what it looks like, the things that we observe. He says, this is what love looks like. This is the part you've probably heard in weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. And then we unwrap the gift of love. We unwrap this observation that Paul describes, or God describes through Paul, what it looks like. Now, I'm guessing that there's no one in this room that can say that their life looks like this description all of the time. We sin. We fall short. We stumble in our walk. But the observation is, here's the standard. Are you working in your life to get closer to that standard, or are you comfortable with where you're at? In most things that we do in life, we tend to strive for excellence. And we want to improve. We want to do better. I don't know if you've been watching any of the Olympics. I catch pieces of it here and there. And some of these contests are decided by a tenth of a second. And that tenth of a second is gained by a continual pursuit of excellence. They're not willing to say, well, that was good enough. I don't know why the judges didn't like it. I thought it was a pretty good performance. And when we look into God's Word, we begin to observe what real love looks like. And I don't know if you've noticed as we went through that description from verses 4 through 7, but it sounds like a very sacrificial, giving kind of thing. We talked about in Sunday school class that we live in a culture, in a world where so many times we think that my job is to look out for number one. And I told the class, in fact, that is actually true. It is your job to look out for number one, but the problem is you're not it. We hear that and we begin to think, I'm number one, I look out for myself. And God says, no, He's number one. And the sad part is, from our perspective, you're not even number two. Jesus says, others come before you. Others come before me. And it's when we observe this kind of love. And the incredible thing about the examples that I've had in my life from my parents, from my in-laws, from a variety of church members, some of them here, that are married 40, 50, 60, 65, 70 years. And you sit down and listen to their stories. And they'll be the first to tell you that it's not all been chocolate and roses. Some of it has been thorns. And yet they exhibit these characteristics of caring about the other person more than they care for themselves. And when we begin to live life in a way that we observe true love shown through Jesus sacrificing Himself for us, people ought to be able to observe that same type of love in the way we treat our spouse, in the way we treat our parents, in the way we treat our children, in the way we treat our neighbors, in the way we treat our fellow students, in the way we treat our enemies. Well, wait a minute, you're getting a little harsh there. We We unwrap love and we observe through God's word and his example what it ought to look like. We also unwrap love and we find value. It's worth it. One of the things that we often do, that's why I love the day after holidays, because the prices at stores, I don't typically think their chocolate is worth what they're charging, and so the half price I can kind of deal with. But we tend to do that with a lot of things. We decide, does this have enough value to me to keep it or to pursue it or to obtain it? And sometimes we dismiss godly love because we've not concluded it has the value that we want. Somehow we begin to think, the enemy puts in our mind, I'd actually be better off looking out for myself. I can tell you from experience, that doesn't really work all that well. But what does Paul say in this chapter, verses 8 through 12? We're going to look at the value that love has that exceeds the value that other things have, that other gifts might have. I always already read the first three words of verse 8, but we're going to go back to that. It says, love never fails. How many things can you say that about? Now, you may be here this morning and you may think, well, love has failed me. Well, the world's version of love probably has. He says God's love, this gift from God, is what never fails. What the world passes off for love, what we accept for love, what we believe is love may fail. But God never does. God is love. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I think about that, you know, if only we knew as much as what we knew when we were teenagers, right? Knowledge tends to slip by. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Love has value because it equips us to see things more clearly. Love has value because it equips us to reflect the nature of God more accurately. Love has value because it remains and it endures. And when we unwrap this gift of love, we unwrap it as that most valuable gift. Growing up on the farm as a child, we didn't have a lot of financial benefit, a lot of money in the bank or anything like that. And Christmas and things were, well, kind of sparse compared to what some of my classmates' Christmases were. And there were always those things that were necessities that were under the Christmas tree because at least we got something. But generally, Mom and Dad would try to do something that was above and beyond the necessities of life that each of us kids had really wanted. And we would open the packages and, you know, we'd get those T-shirts and the underwear and all of that stuff and we'd think, yeah, that's nice. You know, I don't want to go to school without those things, so I'm glad I have them. But when we finally got to that package that wasn't the necessities, it was, wow, I'm keeping this. This is meant for me. The value in my mind was so much greater because the desire in my heart was greater. And when we begin to recognize how valuable God's love is, it doesn't increase in value just because we recognize it. It increases in value to us because our desire for it has increased. There are things that may have great value to you because you desire them greatly that I would look at and throw it away. I said, I don't want that. Now, that's probably not true of me because I'd put it in the closet of the garage or pack rat it away somewhere, and I may not see the same value, but I think it has to have value. It exists. But it'd get put away. It'd get put out of sight. Because it's not all that important to me. And as we unwrap this gift of love, it's important that we see the value, that we're not putting it away, we're not putting it out of sight, we're not discarding it, we're saying this is the most important thing that I could ever receive and that I could ever give. God's love. God's love made known to us through Jesus. God's love, which ought to be made known to others through us. But this unwrapped gift of love is not just a learning and an observation and a value, but the great part about this gift of love is it's a gift of eternity. Verse 13 of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, all three remain through this life, but think about it. When we leave this life and meet Jesus face to face, when we're in heaven, the faith is kind of pointless. Faith is the substance of things unseen, and when we're there, we've seen it. It's by faith that we're saved, it's by faith that we get there, but once we're there, our faith has been made complete. We know, just as he said in the end of verse 12, we know fully just as we are fully known. We get to heaven, we're in community with Jesus himself. What is there left to hope for? Our hope is important as we live this life, but it's fulfilled when we're there. But love? Love doesn't just remain here on earth, it remains for eternity. Because God is love. Our faith and our hope are eternal because they've been fulfilled. Because they've been completed. But our love continues to grow. It continues to be expressed as we spend all of time worshiping the one that loves us most. As we spend all of eternity worshiping the one that values us most. As we spend all of time worshiping a God that never fails. We struggle with love because human love fails. Even the people that we love the most, we hurt sometime or another. And they hurt us. Sometimes out of anger and intentional, but many times out of an unintentional, just not paying attention. But God's love never fails. Because it's different than our love. And so we live life unwrapping this gift of love the most excellent way. If you have a decision that you have to make today or tomorrow, and it may be between this or that, it may have a variety of options. What would happen if in part of your internal discussion, You would ask yourself and you would ask God, what would love do? What would love decide? What would be the most excellent way to answer this? How is love involved? You see, when we recognize God's gift in our life, we recognize we only know about love because He first loved us. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, the decision for every one of us is, what will I do with God's gift of love? Perhaps you're here this morning, you're watching online, and that's the question you've been asking yourself for some time. The best thing to do with God's gift of love, or the first thing, is to receive it. To acknowledge it, receive it. Surrender to Him. Be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Acknowledge your sin. Have a change of mind in the way that you think. Be buried with Christ so that you can be risen with Christ. If you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you've never surrendered to Christ, you've never made that initial decision that says, I want Jesus as Lord of my life, I'd love to talk with you about that, to begin that conversation. You can get a hold of me at any time. We're going to sing a song of decision in a moment, and you can join me in the room to my left and we can begin that conversation. But generally, most of us are here because we've made that decision. We've heard about God's love and we've chosen to receive it. The second question after we've chosen to receive it is, what will I do with it? In other words, who will I give it to? Now, before you start getting out a notepad and start jotting down who you think God wants you to give it to, let me simplify it for you just a little bit. That notepad can be very small because the word that you need to put there is everyone. There's no one that you will encounter today or this week or any time in your life that God says, don't worry about them. You don't have to love them. That's not the way He thinks. The Bible says He loved us while we were still enemies in our mind of His. And His desire is that we love others with that same love. Oh, it's not a permissive love that says, if it's all good, go ahead and sin, it doesn't matter. It's a love that calls us to obedience. But it's a love. It's a love that considers the needs of others to be more important than our own. It's a love that learns. It's a love that observes. It's a love that values. It's a love that's eternal. And it's my prayer that every one of us would make that decision to not only receive God's love, but to give it. If you're here this morning and you need someone to pray with you, you're always welcome. I encourage you to find somebody near you and just say, hey, would you pray with me? You can pray where you're at. You can go off into another room and pray together. You can agree to meet after our service and pray together. You're also welcome to join me in the room to my left in this during this song, and I can pray with you as well. But part of loving one another is caring for one another. And part of caring for one another is praying for one another. So whatever decision that God's Spirit has put upon your heart to make, I pray that you make it. And as you leave this building in a little while, that decision goes with you. And you unwrap love. And your day and your week is different. Because love has become the most excellent way in your life. Would you stand as we sing?